On
the bottom of page, very bottom of page, to 359, 360, we're going to be starting with Ardibra Terlosh Midan was the last thing we said. B'shagam, shagam is what we're going to start from. And the word of God with its 22 letters is where we're going to start in English. What he's talking about now is he's talking about returning the lower hay, and he said that you have with Hashem, you have the letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei corresponding to the 10 spheres.
Yes.
And the bottom letter, going not giving a comprehensive review of last week. If you want that, you can just go listen to this shiur again. But rather that the hey is malchus, is adnus, is nobility, is ruler, and that's what causes the life force to come into this world. That gets stuck down here, and he's going to say now. So too it is also with people. Same deal. I'm working on the principle. Chelek Havaya Amai Yaakov Chavel Nachalasei, the portion of God is his people, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance, and this idea of us being connected to Hashem. Okay. B'shagam Dvar Havaya Chav Beis Oisius Hamalchel Sehei Chalakim. So now we say, we have this something called the Holy Tongue, and it's 22 letters, and it's divided into Hey Chalakim Atzois, Ubehem Nivra Kol Yitzur, and they're divided into five categories, like with us, for example, that you have boomf from the lips and gichik from the front, from the throat, and dat letatz from the teeth, etc. So you have these different groups also. As was explained, this is Kemosh Kozbel Lakuti Amarin Chalik Beis Perak Yud Aleph Ubiri Inyan Oisius Elu, as is explained in Shar Yechad Ve'amuna. We explained it at great length that each letter is an expression of a specific form of godliness as it's coming down into the world. And the five groupings he mentioned it back in chapter 4 of Shar Yechad Ve'amuna come from the Hei Gevurois. The five severities, which are rooted in the butzina, the cordonisa, what a lovely expression, the black light,
yes,
which is located in Keser, which is the person of desire. So he says, just like it is that that's the case with Hashem, and which is going to lead the person to doing teshuva, that the teshuva is now an expression of returning the hay. The hay, the being the very building block, hay having numerical value 5, also corresponding to the hay gevuras, which will eventually cause the divine presence to be mislavished, to enclose itself into the world. Now, interesting thing about this idea of hislabshus, I came across something today from the Tzemach Tzedek, Mimer. Mm-hmm. We know that the purpose of levushim, we normally talk levushim, we talk mashav divra maisa, but it's the Alter Rebbe uses this expression of hislabshus, of orein sof, that the godliness encloses itself into whatever it encloses itself into. Mm-hmm. So the Tzemach Tzedek says you have the word beged, which is synonymous with the word lavush. Beged meaning clothing. Mm. Beged, if you write it in atbash, you know, atbash is that you change an aleph for a tav and a base for a shin and a gimel for a resh, etc. Beged and atbash is oisius sheker, falsity. Mm-hmm. That if it involves clothes, it's false. Interesting statement. Because if you're talking about people, so the whole nuance of clothing only happened as a result of Adam and Chava getting kicked out of the garden.
Right.
Because levushim were not a required thing. Begadim were not necessary.
Weren't part of the original plan.
Was not part of the original plan.
Right.
Okay, so what clothes do is, okay, so clothes make you presentable and clothes protect you. But the presentation is not a presentation of you. The presentation is a presentation of how you want to be perceived. The expression clothes make the man?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah. So now when we're talking about Hashem, really, so in order for godliness to work in this world, in this three dimensions, and get the three dimensions up and running, it has to be mislabesh, it has to be enclosed into the world. So that's already an inyan of sheker. Godliness isn't supposed to be enclosed. That's not the status quo. When Mashiach comes, he says, we'll understand now it is how it is that the revelation of Hashem that will be when Mashiach comes will be such that you will see how three dimension conveys infinity. Each three-dimensional object will express infiniteness of Hashem, because at that point, godliness will no longer be melubish, it will no longer be enclosed, but it will be expressed by. So they're not going to have this hislab shus anymore. It'll just be that the three dimension expresses infinity. You're not going to have this whole sidri stalshulus business. So he says, Kacha mamash al derech mashul, so too by way of an example. Hamavdil havdolos la'ein keis b'nishmas adam shehu b'chinas nefesh elokis. You look, for example, at our soul, which he's referring here is to the godly soul. Now, at the beginning of the chapter, when he was comparing our soul to Hashem, so he just said over there, b'nishmas adam. Here he adds the words b'chinas nefesh elokis. What's the difference? Is in the beginning of the chapter, he's talking about the neshama as it's in Atzilus. So the neshama as it's in Atzilus is in no way separated from Hashem. Because there is no, by definition, in Atzilus, there is no such thing as anything being separate. It's called Olam Ha'Achdus. It is the world of unity. And so the neshama, which is a manifestation of the world of Atzilus, it really is basically the only thing that can withstand being in Atzilus. Malachim can't, angels can't. There's no real anything in Atzilus because it's just merely an expression of the ten spheroids. But the Nefesh Elokis precurses actually the Seder Yisdalshalus and has to go through Atzilus. So it's higher than the Seder Yisdalshalus. So when it's in Seder Yisdalshalus, so what is it? Okay, it's still Nishmas Adam. It's referred to as the soul of man.
Yeah.
But at that point, you can't ascribe anything to it.
Right.
Because that's what like it says in Paragraphs, Chelek Elokai Mamal Mamish. When the Alter Rebbe says Chelek Elokai Mamal Mamish, he's only talking about as the Neshama is in Atzilus. Because there are levels that are higher than that too. But that's not what he's talking about. He's not concerning about that. And right. In the first section of Tanya, he's only really concerned about your psyche, your cognition. And you're beyond Atzilus, there's nothing in your soul even, there's nothing more to talk about. Above Atzilus, the neshama itself even loses parameters. It just becomes an amorphous entity known as Nishmas Adam. In Atzilus, at least, so the neshama has a chachma, bina, amida. He said, has malchus.
Right.
It has that stuff because that's what's in it. Before those things exist, it doesn't have them.
Yeah.
Okay. So now when he says the nefesh shehu b'chinas nefesh elokis, then he qualifies the metechei nafech, which was blown from his inner midst. That's talking about the soul of man as it is down here in this world. Because down here, we're in a world of total separation. And what is it that's doing tshuva? The body's not. The body's just a bag.
Yeah,
it's a dirt bag. It's a dirt bag on top of that.
Right.
Okay. The nefesh al-Bahamas
there we go.
Is what is leading the person to do whatever it is it wants to do. But the Nefesh Elokis ultimately is what says, no, I'm in charge. So whenever it is that the Nefesh Elokis allows the Nefesh of Bahamas to slip up, so it's the Nefesh Elokis that has to be doing the tshuva. Because when you think, when we're talking about what is tshuva, according to what he said at the beginning of the parak, where it is, and we talked about last week, where's tshuva coming from? It's coming from before Seder Hishtalshelus. The Nefesh HaBahamas can't relate to such a thing.
Okay.
Nefesh HaBahamas is a product of creation.
Yeah.
It's only there so that the godly soul can relate to a body. Because a godly soul can't move.
Yeah, so it can interface with the body.
Correct. It is exactly it. That's the perfect word. It's the interface.
Got it.
Okay? Right. So it's the Nefesh HaBahamas that slips up, but ultimately it's the godly soul that says, okay, I'm taking the blame. Uh-huh. Because had the Nefesh HaLakis been one step ahead, Nefesh HaBahamas wouldn't have slipped up.
If it exerted itself?
Yes.
No.
Okay, so ultimately it's the Nefesh HaLakis, because now what has to do tshuva is the Nefesh HaLakis.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and that what part, what, how a Nefesh HaLakis? The Nefesh HaLakis is in the body.
Yeah.
Okay, because after 120 years, I'm sorry doesn't cut it.
The exit stays left, yeah, right.
It's not going to work at that point.
Okay,
if a person wants to do the I'm sorry route, well, he's got to do that here.
Well, he's living here.
Okay, that's why it says all over the place, we talked about 800 times, that Yahweh Shach is v'tshuva ma'isim tovim v'olam hazeh v'kol chai olam haba. 1 hour of tshuva and good deeds.
Yeah.
Is better than the whole world to come.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Because what the tshuva is able to accomplish, the connection that we're able to make to establish, the godliness that we're able to connect to by doing tshuva in 1 minute in this world, is better than anything a person's going to get in Olam Haba.
Sure.
Okay, because where is the tshuva coming from? The tshuva is coming from the level of Bala Ratzin. Mitzvahs are coming from the level of Ratzin Hashem. It's what Hashem wants the person to do. Where's tshuva coming from? Okay, this Yold messed up on the level of Ratzin. He didn't do what Hashem wanted, so to correct it, you have to go past that. Ratzin. That's the level of Bala Ratzin, the one whose Ratzin it is. Okay, that can only be done here as the neshama, the Nefesh HaLakis, which is the godly soul, is in the body here. That's why he puts in the words the metechi nafich. That's referring to Adam Arishon being created.
Yeah.
That meaning the physical Adam Arishon. That's the soul which is in us. Yesh ba b'chinas seichel hanelam hamarumazes ba'ois yud. So our soul has also, just like we have our own little Yud Kei Vav Kei, we call it a godly soul. It's called a godly soul because it's made up of Hashem. If you could draw a picture of a neshama, it would look just like Hashem, the essence of Hashem.
Yeah.
So that means that as Hashem is manifest, so too also, as he says, Lahavdil, the godly soul is manifest in the body. That's why we want to use the parallel of calling the person the Olam Katan, or the world, the goof gadol. The world is like a small, we are a microcosm.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, by understanding ourselves, we can understand how Hashem works, for example, all those examples that we talked about last week. So first of all, so you got this Os Yud. That what's Os Yud? Os Yud is the level of Chachma of the Neshama. What's Chachma? Chachma is a potential. It's the Kayachma, the power of what? So it refers not to cognizant seichel, it refers to seichel, a level of neshama that really relates to elikus. It's alluded to in the Os Yud, because the Os Yud doesn't, we talked about last time, has no specific dimension. It's a point. So there is this quintessential point of our Judaism, as it's enclosed in our body. We're not talking here about nefesh, ruach, and neshama, chaya, and yechida, that chaya and yechida are outside the body, or as we mentioned last week, that there's a level that which even precedes all that, that's called law. As it says, chamish yeshemas nikra law. Five names, or it is called. What's the it? It is the neshama, and one of the names that it has is chaya. We're not talking about that. That's not what he's talking about over here. What he's talking about over here is as the godliness of the Nefesh HaLakis is mislabish in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Because really and ultimately that's all you can control, that's all you can correct. Okay? Because the Nefesh HaBahamas doesn't touch on the level of Ratzin of the Neshama, nor does it touch on the Nefesh, the level of Yechida, the plug-in. Mm-hmm. It's only able to affect that part of the Neshama which is enclosed in the body, the Nefesh of the Neshama, the thought, speech, and action. So where is it then that the tshuva has to come, has to reach? So it has to reach the nefesh, ruach, and neshama of the body, the thought, speech, and action as it's enclosed in the body. So now that he is, the Alter Rebbe, is describing the godliness which is in our soul. So he's not, he could very easily have said, you have a yud, which is in chaya, and the hey, which is, it's the yud, which is in yechida, and the hey, which is chaya. And there's only four, as opposed to five. So the yud would be in chaya, and the hey would be in machshava, and the vav would be in dibur, and the last hey would be in neshama, would be in nefesh, and the yechida would be the kites that's on top of the yud. He could have done it that way, but that's not what he's doing over here. And that, by the way, might be true too, because anytime you've got four, you got a yud kei vav kei going on. That's just that's just the way life works.
Okay,
that any pattern of four is a yud kei vav kei, and if you're going to throw a fifth on top of it, so it's referring to the shmichik on the top of the yud. So, but that's not what he wants to concern himself with. We're talking about doing tshuva over here, and he's talking about a tshuva now. He's not talking about a highfalutin tshuva with, you know, bringing Mashiach and all that kind of stuff. He's talking about a person who did something wrong. He wants to correct himself.
Yeah.
This is the next step from what he talked about last time about 61 fasts for getting angry. You know, this is okay. Don't do the 61 fasts or getting angry. Just tap into the elokus that's naturally within you. Let that fill you up, and then what'll happen is you'll have the tashuv hey. This, by the way, he's talking about all this stuff in chapter 4, is called tshuva tata, the lower tshuva.
Mm.
Okay, the higher tshuva, we're strapping ourselves in.
Yeah.
Okay, because we could talk about it, but it's highly unlikely we'll ever get there. So you have the yud, and the yud at this point refers to, he says, to the seichel hanelim, which this is the part of the neshama that's it's cognizant in the body, which you don't really use it too often.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, push comes to shove. Okay, yeah, this is the part that relates to the essence of Hashem. It can, we're talking about the soul as it's enclosed in the body, not the yechidah shiva nefesh. Yechidah shiva nefesh, the only time the person uses that is when someone says, bow down to my idol or die, and the guy says, I'll take death. That's an expression, yechidah shiva nefesh. This that he's talking about over here is, we're talking about thought, speech, and action. Thought, speech, and action is what gets you through your day.
Mm.
We're not talking about martyrdom.
Right, okay.
At this point, we're talking about
living like
a Jew, and there's just some things that as a Jew we just won't do. There is I was talking with somebody this week, and we're talking about different things in our lives, and I happened to mention that my as a kid, so I went through this journey through the religions. And Hinduism didn't take very long, because I got a book out on from the library on Hinduism, and it described the 5,000 gods that Hindus have. And something just hit me right in the whatever you call it. There were kids who were doing the TM stuff, and they were doing the Om and the Vishnu and all that other, all those weird things with the arms and the heads and the body parts flying in all directions and infinite directions. But something just hit me when I took a look at that and said, nah, I can't do the 5,000 God thing. Okay? I'm not going to say that was my Yechidah Shiva Nefesh, because that would be dumb.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I was 15 years old.
Okay.
Yechidah Shiva Nefesh had no reason to be in there.
Uh-huh.
But there was just something that just irked my neshama that said, no, you can't believe in 5,000 gods. It's just not happening.
Yeah.
Okay, yep, that's called Seichel Hanelo. I wasn't thinking about anything.
Nope.
It's just that when something was so anti what my existence, it said, stop.
Nah.
Go the other way.
No.
That's the yud.
Yeah.
I remember, that it has the ability to come out in Revelation. To understand the trueness of Hashem's greatness. Both of those are noun. His trueness and his greatness. Okay. The Alter Rebbe doesn't really talk about this so much. The Mittler Rebbe goes to town in his Sefer Imrei Bina. The Alter Rebbe talks about his boyness. We hear this word all the time. This is, you know, they say the difference between a Bratzlover and a Lubavitcher is a basin and nun. A Bratzlover does his boydedus, and a Lubavitcher does his boyness.
Okay,
they have nothing to do with the other. His boyness means sitting quietly and thinking and trying to achieve an understanding of one's position in the whole scheme of things and understanding our relationship with Hashem in that. Butterness means to be alone and trying to get closer to God through your aloneness. Okay, it works for them. I'm not knocking any Breslov or anybody who wants to go scream in the woods. That's fine by me. That's his boyness. His boyness is Lashon Bina, which means you're all doing it very much through your cognition. I can understand this, I can understand this, I can understand this. And even those things that we don't understand, that he talks about, well, you'll have to meditate on those, but they're a shlila. We talked about those a while back. I can understand them indirectly. Well, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this.
Right.
That's all in the realm of Bina.
Right.
What he alludes to over here, in using your chachma to relate to Hashem, and this is all he says about here, the Mittler Rebbe goes to town on. He calls it chachma meditation. He doesn't exactly use the word his chachmus, but that's basically what it is. That a person turns off their bina, turns off the cognition, and relates to the simple bittul of Hashem. What's Hashem? Hashem is an ayin. What's the chachma of the neshama? The chachma of the neshama is, for all intents and purposes, it's not really, but for all intents and purposes, it's an ayin. So what is the next step after he's boinenus? And the Alter Rebbe spells out what it is that a person is supposed to accomplish with his boinenus. That he's supposed to understand how Hashem fills the world, is in chapter 3 of Tanya. How Hashem encompasses the world, and how compared to Hashem the world is truly nothing. Once a person understands that, they got that in their bina, now they take it to the next step up. Which is, okay, v'kula kimei kalo chashiv, and everything compared to Hashem is like nothing. That's a lot to understand. But you have in doing so, you hit the wall. What's the wall? I don't exist. Is an oxymoron. Okay, and you can't get yourself out of that. So the next step is that the person relates to Hashem, not from the bina, not with the eye, but from, there is a level of bittul in my neshama. And that level of bittul, and at that point it doesn't become my neshama, it just becomes the level of bittul. The level of ayin relates to the ayin of Elokus. That's called using your yud. Okay, that doesn't involve Mesiris Nefesh, Baruch Hashem. You don't have to die to get there. Okay?
You got to live to get there.
Yes, that's really, truly called living.
You got to live to get there.
Okay? And the Mittler Rebbe, evidently, because the Mittler Rebbe talked about it so much, he must have been there.
He was there, yeah.
Okay, so he knew what to write about.
Yeah.
Gives new meaning to that Perry Cuomo song, Make the World Go Away. You know that song? That's a really bad song. Make the world go away. No, I'm not going to sing it, no. Okay. Everybody gets to do this according to their capabilities. Okay, one person, because everybody has a level of chachma. Everybody can relate to Elokus in a personal level. That he said all the way back throughout the 40s in Likutei Amarim. That we all must develop a personal relationship with Hashem.
Yeah.
Yes.
God is very, the Jewish God is very personal. Okay? You don't need to go out there to find him. He's right here.
Right.
Okay? And the more you look inside, the more you're going to find him. Because that's where Hashem really is. But Hashem made everybody different. And therefore, the relationship that everybody has with Hashem is also different. That's why the Alter Rebbe is very quick to mention, and he says this all the time. Every time he makes a statement, a sampling like this, Kol chad v'chad l'fum shiri delay, everybody according to their own level. And as he mentioned in where is he talks about level of emes in chapter 13, The emes is your emes that you're able to do. That's your emes. That's real. That's not fake. You say, oh, this compared to Abraham. Look what Abraham was able to do. I can't get thrown into a fire and walk out. I'm not like Abraham. So no. You think Hashem doesn't know that?
Yeah.
Baruch Hashem is not asking me to get thrown into a fire and walk out. I, Baruch Hashem, don't have that test. Avraham had that test.
Yes.
So everybody, and therefore what? So since I can't walk into a furnace and walk out, so my avodas Hashem is not emes? It's not true? It's still true.
Of course it is.
Okay? And we know that from looking at, in chapter 29, we talked about yelling at yourself. When you're using the expression yitush kadmach, the gnat comes before you. Because what does Hashem expect from a gnat? Not a whole lot. You can't even make a gnat skin coat,
yeah.
But a gnat's doing its job 100%. Whatever that job is, a gnat's a gnat 100%. It gets 8+. It deans lists.
Yes.
It's right there. You know, there's no such thing as gnat heaven, Baruch Hashem. But you know,
well,
it did its.
The truth is, I just don't want to go there.
Yeah, yeah. It did it. Yeah, because you'd be their heaven, right?
Oh man, wouldn't I?
Yeah, I could see the propaganda now. Listen, if you do kamikaze, you go to heaven and you get 70 Texans. Yeah, 70 Texans? So everybody is just expected to do what they can do and nothing more.
Hmm.
And that's when somebody messes up, Hashem says, well, you messed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to clean up the mess, and how do you got to clean it up the best of your ability to clean it up?
Right.
Even Adam Arishan was afforded the opportunity to clean up.
Yeah.
He didn't. He couldn't. That was too daunting. Okay. But everybody's afforded the opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay. Fi asher ma'amak sichlu umarchiv daitu binasal hisboinim gdulosa yisbarach. Now, it's very good. Let's say the person does hit this ayin in his neshama. He taps right in there.
Mm.
And he's got this bittul groove going on. You can't stay there. That's what Nadav and Avihu wanted to do.
Mm.
They wanted to just experience the nothing and stay in the nothing and be nothing.
Just stick there.
And nope, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Now what you have to do is you have to take that yud of your neshama, you have to take that nothing, you have to take that ayin and you have to bring it down and to make it something.
Mm.
And it has to, and this is the hard part, it has to maintain its integrity.
Mm.
You have to take your nothing,
yeah,
and now when it's a something, keeping it's an integrity of connecting to the nothing.
Mm.
And this is still tshuva tata, this is still a lower level of tshuva, buddy. So when it is now, when a person's going to Devthin, like I said, let's everybody, don't do anything until we get done with all 12 chapters.
Yeah.
Okay? The person's going to hear this now, they're going to say, man, I might as well just throw myself off a bridge at this point. There's no way I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And did you think that you could fast the number of fasts that were prescribed by the Arizal for everything
even,
that was done? So don't get despondent. The person's thinking, wow, this is beyond me. So, yeah, okay, good. That's the whole point the Alter Rebbe wants to say. Okay, he doesn't want you necessarily, he says the best for last.
Sure.
He doesn't want you fasting for the rest of your life,
yeah,
and not necessarily you're going to be tapping into your ayin and bringing it down.
Mm.
But, listen, he's talking about it. So as a person depthens their intellect and broadens their knowledge and understanding, l'hisboinen b'gdulosa yisborach, to meditate in Hashem's greatness, that a person can now fully recognize and comprehend the nothingness of Hashem as it permeates the entire realm of something in which we live, that the person has a feeling as he's walking on the road. You can call this guy, this referred to in Yiddish, the term is uvelechtecha v'derech yid. A Jew who's going on the way. What does it say, uvelechtecha v'derech? It says, v'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavecha v'chol nafshecha v'chol me'edecha. So that when you're going on the way, the person is loving Hashem not only with all his heart, with all his soul, but with all his might, which means to go beyond soul.
Yeah.
That's the hay of the neshama. Sheyesh la reicha v'gam eira chameira hamshachos melamayla lamata lahele mibinosav he's boinus v'gilosav Hashem ava v'yira v'tel doiseihen v'maycho v'talimus libay. That what comes from the bina? So yud is totally. I don't want to say the word useless. That's not the right thing because it's a negative thing.
Yeah.
But when a person's holding it with yud, he's in that yud space,
yeah.
He's not doing anything with it. He can't, because by definition, it's not usable. It's just an existence. It's just a state.
It's a point.
We want to take that and make that usable. Mm. Okay, so that's what the person's doing with their being. They're making that cognitive expression usable.
Mm.
And how so? To bring it down. To concretize it, to give it breath, to give it length, and to give birth from his understanding and his meditation and the greatness of Hashem, a love and a fear and all of its branches in his brain, and talumas libo, the recesses of his heart. Recesses of his heart is not emotion. It says, because it says, for example, recesses of the heart actually is, in some instances, is talked about as being pre-intellect. Because we have an expression, leis machshava tefisa beklal. It's in Pesach Eliyahu. No thought can grasp Hashem at all. Avol beru'usa deliva tefasta. But it says from the depth of the heart, you can grasp Hashem. That means that depth of heart is beyond cognition. So it's not exactly emotion, but it's not intellect either, because you're using the word heart. There's no brain in your heart.
Right.
But there is that hergesh, which hergesh is not an expression of intellect. Hergesh means feeling. Which das is hergesh. But das isn't exactly intellect either. Das is the bridge between the intellect and the emotion. Das is comprised, he said before in chapter 3, of love and fear intellectually. So the intellectual love and fear of Hashem, which is in the brain, connects to the emotional intellect that's in the heart. That's where your interface is. Intellectual emotion with emotional intellect interface one with the other. So now you've bridged your gap, because there really is no point of comparison between intellect and emotion.
Right.
Intellect is cold, calculating, doesn't want to be bothered by anybody, is actually disturbed by the presence of outside influences.
Right.
Emotion is, it's hot, there's energy there, and can only be accomplished if there is a recipient of the emotion. If you have nobody there, you can't be kind.
Right.
Okay, so the interface between the two is, I could talk about this for an hour, but I'm not going to. Save it for another time. The interface between the two is, you have the emotional intellect, the intellectual emotion with the emotional intellect.
Right.
Which is, the emotional intellect is called Taluma Slave. The recesses of the heart. And the reason why I don't want to do this is because I want to get done with this chapter. And then it comes out as a pitter-patter in the heart, and, oh, I'm so in love with Hashem. A person who is truly a God-fearing person, a God-loving person, has nothing to do nothing to worry about. Because if they truly fear Hashem, it's the simple definition of a God-fearing person is what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, and he quoted it before, that your fear of Hashem should equal your fear of man.
Right.
Okay, and your love of Hashem should be on a simple level. I love Hashem.
Yeah.
I just put it in my bucket list of things that I love. I love my mother, and I love my wife, and I love my kids, and I love chocolate brownies, and I love Hashem.
No.
Okay? But no. But much more, it's a whole different thing, though.
Yeah.
Okay? U'mezeh nimshacha avoida amitis bo'isak ha'torah v'ha'mitzvos. Now, once a person has done this, this is all just a preparation. He talks about this again later in the last section.
Yeah.
When he talks about tshuva according to Hasidus, because now once a person's in this groove, so we're talking about bringing it home. So now what is a person supposed to do with it? Torah and mitzvahs.
Mm.
So now that it is, when a person is putting on the tefillin in the morning, giving the charity to a poor person, doing whatever it is that the person is doing as an expression of the will of Hashem, so now that person feels that when they do a mitzvah, they are connecting themselves to Hashem. Because the word mitzvah means connection.
Connection. Yeah.
And when they're learning Torah, they feel it as an expression of the will and wisdom of Hashem.
Yeah.
As something that is, that their neshama needs to connect to. As an expression of their love of Hashem. Okay, that is called learning Lishma. Bekol v'diber o'im ma'isa v'hein o'isi yisvav and hey v'cholu. And these are expressed in speech and action, which are the letters vav and hey, and I don't know why he puts and etc. Here. I went looking high and low for this, because and etc. means that there's something else. But there really is nothing else after you get to vav and hey. We hit bottom. There's not. This doesn't talk anything about the bottom of the hay. Once you hit the Maisa, there's nothing after Maisa. Okay, there are lower levels of Hashem and how that's also probably manifest in your neshama, maybe, but I don't know. And if anybody is listening online and they know what it is, contact me on the contact page and let me know what the v'chulu means there. V'gam hisbeinanis lahavin alahasil b'mitosu v'gdulosu yizbarach nimshachas gam kain mahatayra d'raisa mechachma nafkis v'hi b'chinis yud shel shem avaya. And also, by the way, you can do this backwards also. What do we want? We said before the starting point is the yud.
Yeah.
Which is what? That the person relates his nothing to Hashem's nothing.
Right.
Do it backwards. Start with learning Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And what will happen? The person will realize that what's the Torah? Chachma shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the Chachma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is the Yud. So if you can do it that way, by tapping into and realizing what it is that the person is sitting and learning right now, so that'll propel him into this state as well, that he'll be able to connect with a love of Hashem, a fear of Hashem, to affect his Machshava Dibur Maisa. To be continued next week, chapter 5, finally.